monitor. In just 45 seconds from now, Monitor goes to Reading, Pennsylvania, to witness the first controlled evacuation experiment of its type ever attempted. It is jointly operated by the Civilian Defense Department of Pennsylvania in cooperation with the Civilian Air Patrol. 1 hour and 16 minutes ago, a theoretical H-bomb was dropped in the vicinity of Chester, Pennsylvania, a suburb of Philadelphia. Some 500 survivors will be loaded into motor lorries and begin moving northward to Reading, Pennsylvania. State police, CAP radio cars, and civilian air patrol planes will convoy and direct the caravan. Field kitchens and food supplies will be flown to the assembly point at Reading. Now, at the airport, standing by is WRAW's Martin Miller. He's just landed from a reconnaissance flight with the CAP, where he's been observing the progress of the evacuation. Monitor now goes to Reading, Pennsylvania.
Operation evacuation is underway here at the General Carl A. Spots Airfield in southeastern Pennsylvania. The operation, the first venture of its type, is a combined effort of the Civil Air Patrol, the Pennsylvania wing of the Civil Air Patrol, and the Berks County Council of Civil Defense. We're speaking to you from the Joint Civil Air Patrol and Civil Defense Headquarters, set up here at Spots Field, which incidentally at the moment is clouded over. Officers of the CAP inform us that the weather conditions are at present limiting activities of the 100 plane which will participate in this operation. Briefly, here is the problem which faces those in command. The problem which has been set up by Colonel Philip Neuweiler, commander of the Pennsylvania wing of the Civil Air Patrol. We repeat, this is only a problem for practice. There has been an enemy attack. At 4:30 on Friday afternoon, an attack was made on the continental United States. The enemy dropped a series of atomic bombs from aircraft, launched guided missiles from submarines at sea, and exploded hidden atomic devices. The evacuation of the larger metropolitan areas was attempted with little success. Because the standard operational procedure on evacuation was not followed, there has been widespread confusion, pillaging, and murder. At 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon, the Civil Defense Director of the State of Pennsylvania, Dr. Richard Gerstel, requested the commander of the Pennsylvania Wing of the Civil Air Patrol, Colonel Neuweiler, to activate the Airborne Mobile Support Unit and to put into operation the Civil Air Patrol plan for controlled evacuation. At this moment, a 100-car convoy carrying 500 evacuees from Media, Pennsylvania, is traveling the 50 miles to the airfield here in Reading, where the persons will be fed and given medical treatment. On the apron in front of us, hundreds of volunteers are busily preparing to care for the 500 persons who are now in the convoy. The Lehigh County Civil Defense has flown a complete field kitchen. The CAP will airlift a complete feeding station from Allentown, 35 miles away, and this unit will feed the 500 evacuees from Media. Surface vehicles are standing by in case the weather conditions do not clear. After these persons are cared for, they'll be taken by car and plane to Indiantown Gap, another 35 miles west of Reading, where they'll be given extensive medical treatment. While this convoy is en route to the military base at the Gap, an atomic-powered plane will crash in the vicinity of Burnville, a farming community about 10 miles northwest of the Spots Airfield. Because of the danger of atomic radiation, the population of Burnville will be evacuated. Again, the Spots Airfield will be the center for that operation. More than 500 persons from Burnville will be fed and given medical treatment here. In order to accomplish this, the feeding unit from Reading, which has since been sent to Indiantown Gap, will have to be recalled. The operation will conclude here in Reading at the Spots Airfield when the evacuees from Burnville will be returned to their community by auto convoy. The behind-the-scenes activity is tremendous, both here and throughout eastern Pennsylvania. Volunteer workers have been busy since dawn with airplanes, radio equipment, mobile units, and emergency civil defense and civil air patrol equipment. The low-hanging clouds have now partially closed in the field, and a slight drizzle is falling. But operation evacuation will continue no matter what the weather, and we'll be here to report progress in the operation throughout the day. That's how things shape up here at the General Carl A. Spots Airfield in Reading, Pennsylvania. This is Martin Miller, now back to Monitor in Radio Central, New York.
Back now in Radio Central, New York, and this is Frank Gallup again. Just about an hour from now, Monitor will again go to Reading, Pennsylvania, for the evacuation story of how the survivors of an H-bomb attack would be evacuated to safety. More music now. Monitor music with Dinah Shore. Church twice on Sunday.
This is wedding weekend at Monitor, as we attend wedding receptions in all parts of the world.
A while back, Wilson Hall in Cairo said he was on his way to the wedding feast of Hamid and Abdu in a narrow Cairo side street. He promised to tell us what they said. So Monica returns to Cairo for another report from Wilson Hall.
I'm just back, too, from the wedding feast. In the small rooms above the street here, tables, round tables are laid out, which all of the wedding guests, one by one, or nine by nine, depending upon the number that can get around the table, gather around and eat. There were nine at our table. No women, of course. The women eat separately. We had beans, spaghetti, fried potatoes, and flat pancake-like bread. No utensils at this wedding feast. You use the bread, dip in from the plate in the middle of the table. After the nine had finished eating the lamb, the kebab, the beans, spaghetti, the custard, the sweets were brought in, custard with raisins, one plate. We all had spoons this time and ate out of the same plate. Now we have two bags. It's a different wedding. Both of them trying to outpound and outflute each other. The one that you can probably hear clearest merely consists of drums and clapping hands. This particular music comes from the south of Egypt, a place where the bridegroom and the bride, both of them, they came from.
We'll go back to Cairo for more of this wedding celebration later today. We'll also visit other wedding festivities at home.
What's today going to be like weather-wise? Warm, dry, cold, or humid? Let's find out from official sources. Monitor gets the weather report direct from the United States Weather Bureau at Washington.
Good morning. You're probably asking yourself if there have been many significant changes in the weather around the country since yesterday. And generally speaking, the answer would be no. But nevertheless, some sections have had changes. Specifically, the middle Atlantic states, where clouds and rain have replaced several days of fine summer-like weather. In the late reports received here at the National Weather Analysis Center, the rain had spread as far north as Delaware and southern New Jersey. From the disturbance in the southeast, which yesterday brought copious amounts of rain to portions of that area. For example, 2 inches in 24 hours was reported at Hatteras, North Carolina. The valley of low pressure in the Great Plains yesterday is expected to show some slow eastward movement today, so that a very slight shift towards the east is expected in the pattern of showers and thundershowers. Scattered tornado activity hit the western portions of South Dakota and Nebraska, northeast Colorado, and the Texas Panhandle yesterday, with the only damage occurring at Haxton, Colorado. The forecasters of the Weather Bureau's Severe Local Storm Unit in Kansas City have forecast widely scattered severe thunderstorms this afternoon and tonight in central and eastern Nebraska and Kansas, western and north central Oklahoma, and nearby adjacent sections of north Texas. A few severe thunderstorms may develop in Iowa. In the warm, fair weather of yesterday, the mercury soared into the low 90s in northern New England, while, of course, the extreme high for the day was 110 at that familiar hot spot, Presidio, Texas. With the eyes of the world focused on the United Nations celebrations in San Francisco today, not to mention the National Open Golf Tournament, let's take a quick check on their weather. At last report, skies were cloudy, the familiar California morning fog, and temperature 50 degrees. Within the last hour, thunder showers were reported from such widely separated spots as Childress, Texas, and Moline, Illinois. In Tokyo, it's rained with temperature 72 at last report. This is Bob Ferry, and now back to Monitor Radio Central in New York.
And wherever you are, in your home, in your car, at the beach, or on the way to church, wherever there's a radio handy, be sure to expect the best, direct and transcribed from Monitor. Father's Day, as seen by poet Edgar Guest, interview with Orson Welles, and A Guide to the Art of Living, all coming up in the next half hour. This is Monitor, the new NBC radio service. One of the most beautiful arias in the whole operatic literature, Giuseppe's Walk Song from Puccini's La Bohème. An orchestral version by Tutti Cabarata and his orchestra. Thank you. Hey, and happy Father's Day to you, Pops. Yes, it's Father's Day all day. The old boy is entitled to bask in all his glory. Let's check in now with America's favorite sentimental poet. Honor to go to the home of Edgar A. Guest in Detroit. Anything special for Father's Day, Eddie Guest?
I remember sitting at the window one day, and I remember, well, looking out, and a man went by carrying a dinner pail. He looked very tired. But I knew what he was working for. What he'd been doing all that day. Only a dad with a tired face, coming home from the daily race, bringing a little of gold or fame to show how well he has played the game. But glad in his heart that his own rejoiced to see him come and to hear his voice. Only a dad with a brood of four, one of 10 million men or more, plodding along in the daily strife, bearing the whips and the scorns of life, with never a whimper of pain or hate, for the sake of those who at home await. Only a dad, neither rich nor proud, merely one of the surging crowd, toiling, striving from day to day, facing whatever may come his way, silent whenever the harsh condemn, and bearing it all for the love of them. Only a dad, but he gives his all to smooth the way for his children small, doing with courage stern and grim the deeds that his father did for him. This is the line that for him I pen. Only a dad, but the best of men.
That was Edgar A. Guest and Only a Dad, read especially for Monitor on Father's Day.
A Sunday Morning bit by popular Mahalia Jackson. She sings Rusty Old Halo.
Rusty old halo, skinny white cloud, some second-hand wing through the party. Rusty old halo and a skinny white cloud, rolled back so lonely and scratchy. I know a man that's as a king, still he just won't give his neighbor a thing. His day will come, I'll make a bet, he'll get to heaven and hear what he'll get. The old halo, skinny white cloud, some second-hand wing through the party. Rub the old halo and a skinny white cloud, roll that so woolly it's fatty. While you roll night, shine like a star, bright in the corner. Skinny white cloud, second-hand wing full of patty. Rub the old halo and skinny white cloud, rope that so woolly it's patty. Rope that so woolly it's patty.
Thank you, Mahalia Jackson. Orson Welles, in the role of Captain Ahab, was the big excitement in London's West End last week when his stage version of Moby Dick opened for the first time. The BBC talked with Mr. Welles on opening night, and here's a Monitor report of that interview.
This week saw the premiere at London's Duke of York Theatre of Moby Dick, a new play by Orson Welles, based on the famous novel by Herman Melville. The play is staged as a rehearsal, with a tangle of ropes, a few packing cases, and a couple of ladders as the only stage props. Immediately after the performance, Cora Clay went backstage to the crowded dressing room of Orson Welles, who also plays the lead part of Captain Ahab, and interviewed him for this program.
Mr. Welles, I understand you've been working on this play for a long time.
Yes, I started trying to write it about 10 years ago. I was going to do a version of it here in London about 10 years ago from Copley. And then I wrote another draft about 3 years later, and after some time, gave it up. And it was only last year that I started to work on it again seriously. I finished this script in January.
Had you always planned on doing it in London?
Well, yes, I try to do everything I can in London. Why? It's such a wonderful theater town, you know.
Better than New York?
No, but it's a wonderful, well, it is a wonderful theater town. We're going to do this in New York, too.
Oh, are you?
Yeah, yes.
What is it about movies that particularly fascinated you?
I think it's a great tragic theme, and one that, because of the peculiar nature of the story, has never been put in the theater.
I understand there's a film on Moby Dick now, and I understand you're also in it.
Yes, yes, I am in it.
What part did you play?
I play a part that I play on the stage, too, Father Matthew.
Yes. Did you find it very different working in the film?
Oh, the film, of course, is different. The film shows you everything and doesn't talk about it.
Yes.
And the play talks about it and doesn't show you anything.
It shows you quite a lot. Did you get any ideas particularly from the film?
No, not at all. The play was finished before.
I see.
There are no ideas from the film. The films and theater don't help each other very much.
I
think it'll be a very, very good film. It's just wonderful. But it's not a... This is a play in blank verse, and the difference between the two is enormous.
Yes, right. I noticed in the program that you're planning on continuing here in London after the
year. Yes, in the autumn.
In the autumn, is it? And you're planning to do a repertory season.
Yes, I hope to. I'd like to do a novel of Hemingway, the dramatization of a novel of Hemingway's called The Sun Also Rises.
Oh, yes.
And also a Shakespearean play, Hamlet of Athens.
Oh, yes.
Kind of play.
Yes. Okay. You seem to go in for dramatizations of novels.
Not just this year.
Are you planning on a long stay in London, man?
Well, I'm going away to the south of France for a couple of months or after this one. And I'll be back in October to do the season. I have to make a film in the south.
When do you think this will come to New York?
I should think in the late part of this next season.
We'll be looking forward to it. I'll be back there myself by then.
It's
a wonderful evening for me.
Thank you very much.
Orson Welles answering the questions of BBC reporter Cora Clay after the opening of the play Moby Dick, one of the gala occasions this week in London's West End. In just a moment, the mood will change, as the mood constantly changes on Monitor. We'll bring you music and entertainment, music and entertainment for everybody. Monitor will take you around the world and back. We'll go to Fort Bragg for the 1 million parachute jump. We'll go to Reading, Pennsylvania for a story on the evacuation, the mass evacuation time for the setting off of an H-bomb and the care taken of the survivors there. We'll go to the nation's capital for the president's departure for the services in San Francisco at the United Nations. And we'll have June weddings all around the country. In just a moment, Monitor will hear the words of wisdom of Dr. Robert J. McCracken of the Riverside Church, as he brings us a 12-minute message dealing with the art of living. This is Monitor, going places and doing things. Take one.